Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So glad to see each and every one of you here. Let's all stand. Let's hold our Bibles or our hand up, and let's get some word tonight. We need some word tonight. Amen. And also the new word for today, devotions are in. Get you one before you leave. One per family, please. And don't forget now, this Sunday we have the Freemans coming. We need all of you to cook a bunch of food, enough for your family and one more. We're expecting a lot of folks come. I've got folks telling me from different towns around they're coming. And they're going to be with us on Sunday. So let's bring a lot of food. There'll be no Sunday school, but everything will start exactly at 10:45. So we're going to start on time now. We're not starting on Oakey Grove time at 9:49 or something. 10:49 or 10:52. It's going to be 10:45. So be here on time. Get here early if you want to get a good seat, because this place is going to pack out Sunday.
Yes, sir. I think some of my Sunday school class at the end here will
greet the
people too,
that
they can get to come in.
Okay, amen. All right. Let's do that. We're going to need greeters. And there'll be people that don't know where restrooms are and all, and you can tell them where that is. But let's be sure and get our groceries bought tomorrow or Friday or Saturday and get it ready and bring a lot of food. Though we're going to need a lot of food. So I always worry we're going to run out. We never have. But let's don't run out this time. All right, hold your Bible, your hand up or something, and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, remain standing, open your Bibles, and pull up on the screen, Brother Lynn, please. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel chapter 26. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. That's good. I like that. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's why we're supposed to say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah. And God is good and all of this, because we're supposed to say so. The devil ain't going to speak good of God. We're supposed to. His children. The Bible says if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out and do it. I'm not going to let any rock praise God for me. Amen. Matthew 26, I want to begin reading at verse 36. And I want to title my message tonight. The message will be titled, Private Preparation. Private Preparation. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, private preparation. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36, going through verse 50. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went on a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is that hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, and one of the twelve came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore or why art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on him, on Jesus, and took him. God bless the reading of His Word. Take someone's hand next to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we think tonight about private preparation. Heavenly Father, we come before You with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts, Lord, because the work is finished on the cross. Lord, You didn't leave anything left undone. There's nothing for us to do as far as our salvation, but just walk in it, to live it out, to share it, to let it shine. And God, we thank You for that wonderful gift tonight. Lord, I pray that tonight that You would open our hearts, Lord, to receive this message. I pray that, God, You'd give me a special unction from You, God, and a special dispensation of Your grace and anointing on me, Lord, to be able to preach this Word to these people now and in this season ahead. We pray that, God, that lives will be changed. And Lord, like the old song, Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. So, Lord, we invite Your presence now. Come be with us. Lord, help us put aside the cares of the world and focus on You. Bind every spirit contrary to the Holy Spirit right now. And we give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I read a wonderful quotation several months ago, and I wrote it down, and it goes like this. God prepares you in private to reveal you in public. And boy, that thing, it just ran all over me. God prepares you in private to reveal you in public. And as I was searching the Lord and seeking God for what I needed to share with you, I felt like He said, on Wednesday night, I want you to share this Word with them. And I had originally thought about Queen Esther and how that God kept her hidden in a certain sense until it was time to marry the king. And then He hid her for a while longer after she was married, where that she didn't exert any influence whatsoever in the court of the king until it came the time. And her uncle Mordecai said, who knows whether thou art coming to the kingdom for such a time as this? She had been prepared in private. She had sought God. She had prayed. She had been alone with God. She was prepared in private. And then at the crucial moment when all of the Jews were about to be executed, the entire nation wiped out because of a wicked man's plan named Haman, she walks in uninvited to the king, her husband, Artaxerxes. And it was a crime punishable by death. You did not go in uninvited or you'd be put to death. But she threw all caution to the wind and she walked into the throne room and she told him what evil plans his chief advisor had and how he wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people. And she was a Jew herself. Artaxerxes, of course, wasn't. He was Persian. And the gallows that were made to hang her uncle Mordecai on by Haman, that wicked man, the next day, that terrible, wicked chief of staff, Haman, was hung on those very gallows. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes we get impatient. We think, God, when's it going to be my time to shine? Lord, when is it going to be my time to step into the spotlight? When is it going to be my time to get that raise, to get that promotion? When is it going to be my time that my spouse is going to see me as heroic? My spouse is going to admire me like she admires this person or he admires that person. When is it going to be my time, Lord, to get in the game and play? When is it going to be my time? And so often we forget that God is a God of purpose. And God is a God of precise, absolutely precise timing. Timing is everything with God. And so we need to understand it's not a time that's wasted, it's a time of preparation. God took a little fellow named David, and before he was ever brought into the public spotlight, he was prepared in private, feeding the sheep and tending to the flock out on the backside of the desert. And while he was there, he learned how to fight. While he was there, he learned how to have courage. While he was there, he learned what it was to trust in God when he had to be there by himself all night long. He learned what it was to have a deep abiding faith. And God prepared him in private. And then on that fateful day when Goliath marched back and forth to find armies of Israel, then it was his time to be lifted up and elevated, promoted to that place and revealed in public. The Scripture here tells us, though, I mentioned Esther, I mentioned David, but here's the ultimate example of being prepared in private. How many here would raise your hand and say, Pastor, Jesus is our perfect example? How many would raise your hand? How many would say amen to that? He's our perfect example. You notice what it says there in verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them. Who's the them? Well, it's the disciples. This is immediately after the Lord's Supper. They just had communion. They had communion. You know, we're to sit around the table. They take of the bread and the wine. And the Bible says they sung a hymn after Jesus had washed their feet. You read that in John 13. And they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And it was at the Mount of Olives where there was this secluded garden. A secluded garden, hillside garden, mountain garden. And it was called Gethsemane. Gethsemane has an interesting meaning. Gethsemane is a Greek word, or comes from a Greek word. It's an Aramaic word, but in the Greek it literally means the place of the wine press. You see, and the olive press. There were grapevines and olive vineyards also there on this mountain. And there was a great press there where they would take the grapes and the wine, the grapes and the olives, and they would take them to this press and they would put them in there, and then they would turn a wheel. And as they turned the wheel, the good, the beneficial, the nutrients, everything that was inside of them, it was broken open and then it was poured out, and there was a little trough in the bottom of it, a little groove, and then a trough where it ran out, and they would catch it into various kinds of vessels that they would fill it in. And it's very apropos, very, very appropriate that he went to pray in a place that means the press, the place of squeezing. Have you ever been in a place where you were squeezed? I preached a sermon one time. Some of you might remember it. It's called The God of My Tight Places. And I use this same scripture. I may preach it again this Easter. I haven't preached it about 8 years, I think. 8 or 10 years. Probably time to preach it again. We sing Amazing Grace more than one time, don't we? But he's in a tight place. You say, what is he being squeezed by? He's being squeezed by the same thing you and I are squeezed by every day. For the child of God has two natures. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. And every day they are warring against us. Every day the world is pulling on one arm and God's pulling on the other. And we're in the middle and we're trying to decide which way we're going to go. And his flesh was saying, this is a tough thing you're going to have to go through. You say, well, how could he know? Because he's God. Amen. Jesus knew everything down to the minute, to the millisecond. He knew what was going to happen on the next day. He knew everything. He knew every lash that he was going to receive. He knew every punch in his face that these tough Roman soldiers were going to do when they hit him. And by the way, they wore these gloves and they were embossed with brass. And when they hit you, it's like hitting you with brass knuckles. It could have been that they fractured his facial bones when they hit him. He knew everything that was going to take place. He knew how he was going to be betrayed. He knew how Judas was coming in a little while and going to sell him off the train. He knew how Simon Peter was going to deny him that night and into the next morning. He knew it all. So he was being squeezed because his flesh didn't want to have to go through that. And he knew all he had to do was just... I wish Martha was here. She wasn't feeling good. But she whistled. Can anybody do that? Can anybody whistle out like that? Go ahead. You can do it. Can anybody do it? Nobody? Only Martha. I wish she was here because she'd do it if I asked her. You know, it's like this. His flesh was saying, you don't want to go through that. And he knew that all he had to do was whistle. And 10 legions of angels would come out of heaven and the sky would be darkened. There would be so many angels coming down at one time. And they would absolutely obliterate this world. This world would be gone. And it'd be over and he wouldn't have to deal with it. But you see, he knew on his other side, that was the Son of Man's side, but the Son of God's side said to him, I came here on a mission. You know, there's an old song from about 20 years ago, nobody knew his secret ambition. You ought to listen to that sometime. I believe it's Michael W. Smith, I'm not sure. And his secret ambition was this, was to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. And the God side of him, the Son of God side of him said, I came on a mission, I came for a purpose. And so he squeezed between these two diametrically opposed emotions and feelings and urgings and pullings. He squeezed. And so there's only one choice he's got. He's got to get ready. And in that place called the press, where he's being squeezed so terribly, he prays to God. He says, I'm going yonder to pray. And he leaves some of the disciples there. But then he takes... Who's it say? Peter, James, and John? Peter and the sons of Zebedee. James and John are the sons of Zebedee. Their daddy was Zebedee. Called the sons of thunder. They were always fussing and arguing about who'd be the greatest. He takes Peter and James and John. And he says, y'all come with me. The rest of y'all stay here. Do you know that there are some people that walk with God to a certain extent, and there's others that will walk a little closer with Him and a little farther and are willing to go deeper? Anybody know that? I'm willing to go deeper. Are you willing to go deeper? When I see you here on Wednesday night, that tells me you want to go deeper. You don't want to be like the nine. That's wonderful to be one of the nine, but I want to be like the three that went a little farther with Him. Went on into that garden. The rest of them stayed at the garden gate. They went on into the middle of the garden. But when they had walked to a certain point, they had gone as far as they could go. And Jesus said, y'all stay here. I'm going yonder to pray and I'll be back in a little while. Does that not remind you of Abraham taking his son Isaac? And he said, me and the lad are going yonder to worship the Lord up on that mountain, but we will be back. God, that'll preach, Brother Ronnie. We will be back. Because he knew that even if that son had to be put to death, God would resurrect him. He had that faith. And Jesus knew that though I'm going yonder, and though I know what's coming up tomorrow, give me just 3 days, baby. This old song I used to sing, give me three steps, mister. Y'all remember? Jesus said, you just give me 3 steps. You just give me 3 days. And you watch, see what's going to happen. Bless God. Woo! Hallelujah. And so he went a little farther, the Bible says. Go to that verse, says, and he went a little farther. He went a little farther. And he goes in there and he prays this prayer. And I'm paraphrasing it, but this is what he said. He said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. The cup of God's wrath. He knew that he was going to a cross and he was going to drink the wrath of God on that cross. He said he was drinking, I thought he drank vinegar. And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the wrath of God was poured on him. It's using this as metaphor. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Y'all are my thesaurus. The cup is being used as a metaphor. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And so he gets through praying and he goes back and he finds those three disciples. They're snoozing. They're just snoring. Tom and Harry and Kurt's all out running on the ground sleeping. Harry and Kurt snoring. Tom's laying there like a perfect angel, but he's asleep. I'll repent later. And so he says, can't you stay awake? And he goes back in and he prays a second time. So why would he go pray a second time? Well, there's a lot of imagery here, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Maybe first it was the Father praying because Jesus and the Father were one. Maybe the second time it was Jesus praying as Jesus, Son of God. Maybe the third time he was praying as the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And the Spirit and Jesus are the same. Because he said, I'm going away, but I'm sending another comforter. In other words, another one just like me. We're all the same. We're three, but we're yet one. My God, that'll preach from here to Sunday. And so he goes on in there and he prays a second time. When he comes back, he finds the same result. He comes back to check on him. He says, my gosh, Harry, can't you stay awake? Kurt, Tom, you're an angel, but you need to wake up, son. And he says, can't y'all stay awake? Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? I just want you to stay there. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Now's the time that you pray. And he goes back and he prays then a third time. I mentioned this Wednesday before last when I preached on divine delays, I believe it was. Have you ever gone to God with the same thing day after day? The same prayer. God, it's me again. Nothing's changed. And I still got this same request. I'm still asking you for this same thing. I know, Lord, I've asked you for 10 years already, but I'm still asking. And Jesus goes back a third time. And he prays. But something happens between that second time and that third time. Because when he gets there the third time, it must have been the charm. Because it's like it all got settled in his mind then. My God. There's an anointing in this place. I don't know if you feel it. And he comes back out after praying those same words. And he finds them asleep again. Verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. You know, there's some people in your life you just need to tell them, just sleep on. You know, I've gotten to the point in my life that I'm not so worried about all these sleepy soldiers anymore. If you can't wake them up, if they're not going to wake up and go with you and fight the battle, then let them sleep on. I ain't got time to wake up every sleepy soldier and keep them awake and give them some 5-hour energy and a cup of cappuccino and all of this stuff and tickle their feet and elbow them to keep them from snoozing. Listen, if you can't stay awake, if you can't get on the ball, if you can't get vigilant, then I don't know that I can do anything with you. And so he says, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. You know, there's a lot of people, they're sleeping. There's a lot of God's people to be in heaven, and they're sleeping in the finest hour for the church, and that's right now. Jesus is about to return. The clock is at less than a minute to midnight. Jesus could return at any time according to every prophecy that we've ever known. They've been fulfilled. And he's about to come back and split the eastern sky. And we've got Christians that are asleep. They're asleep. They're asleep with the cares of the world. They're asleep with doing their own thing. They're asleep with entertainment. They're asleep with false doctrine. They're asleep. And though they'll be in heaven one day, they're not going to be able to say, wow, I really shine for Jesus in that last moments for His return. You come on then, look what He says. The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. What are some practical applications? I got three of them. Three. Let me see your threes. Come on, you got some threes? Number one, remember the quote, God prepares you in private to reveal you in public. Practical application is this. Make sure you make time for God in private. Number two, the way we make time with Him is that we read His Word. We pray. Let me tell you, I've known some fine Christian people who did not know the Word of God. There's no reason any person in this country should not know the Word of God. We've got Bibles on our telephones. We've got Bibles on our computers. I can pull up on my telephone or computer 100 different kinds of Bibles at any moment. King James is the best. New King James is right there with it. And I'm going to tell you, there's no reason. There's more access to the Word of God now than ever before. You want to hear some good preaching? If you can't hear me preach, next best thing. Tongue in my cheek. I know. I'm kidding. But Charles Stanley, Dr. David Jeremiah, did I mention Dr. Tom Akins? Listen, he's good, pretty good. Lots of good ones. What's the big heavy man out in Texas? Brother John Hagee, Brother Ron Phillips, Brother Harry Haddon, Brother Kirk Grimm, Brother Keith Newsom. There's a lot of good preachers. Get the Word of God in you every day. This book right here, wherever it is, this devotion book, get you one of them. Look at the devotion. Each page has two devotions on it. It takes you, I've timed it. And I read slow, okay? I read slow. It takes at the most 3 minutes to read the devotion. And that's to read it slow where you're understanding it. 3 minutes. You need this every day. That's why the church buys these every quarter for the families of this church. It's because we know that we need that private preparation. There's going to come a day when out of the blue something's going to blindside you, and what are you going to do? The Word that you hide in your heart in the secret place will benefit you when you come into the storm later on. The psalmist said, Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Let me tell you something. Take that Word every day. You might think, Brother Tom, I won't remember it. You remember it more than you think you do. You see, because it's not just up to your flesh. You've got somebody inside of you, if you're saved, called the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, He'll bring all things to your remembrance and whatever I have commanded you. But you've got to read it. So, number one, we need to have that. It's important that we be prepared. Have that private preparation every day. Number two, the way to do it, God's Word and prayer. Prayer. Talk to God. You say, well, I can say a prayer and be done in 30 seconds. Yeah, you might be done in 30 seconds, but is God done? How many of us here have, how many ears have you got? Christy, how many ears you got on that sweet little head? Two. Harry, stand up. You are a specimen of ears. Two big ears. I tried to get him to trim them down when he was in the hospital. They said, we don't have the right kind of equipment. We have to get some stronger stuff. They tried grinding them, broke the grinders. I love you, brother. You know I'm glad you're back. But you know, we've got two ears. Now, how many mouths do you got? I didn't say how many do you sound like sometimes. My daughter, she'll sometimes I'll just be talking. She'll say to Mama, she'll say, Daddy, loud! Just like that. You got two ears, one mouth. That means when you're conversating, pontificating with somebody, that means that you ought to do twice as much listening as you do speaking. One of the problems we have today is that when we're talking to somebody, we're not really listening. We're just waiting to give a reply. We're thinking of what our reply is. That is not listening, folks. That's why some people are hard-headed and you can't tell them anything. They're not trying to listen. They won't reason together with Scriptures. They're just getting ready a reply, a rebuttal. They're not open. And when you spend time in prayer, you need to do twice as much listening to what God says as you do speaking. You say you mean actually believe that God talks to you? Yes, I do. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John chapter 10. Let me tell you, when you spend time with God and you pray, you'll get to know in His voice. You say, what does it sound like? I can't tell you. You can't tell me or won't tell me. It's not that I won't, I can't. I can't describe it. But I know His voice inside me speaking. How many knows what I'm talking about and says, preacher, you ain't crazy? And so you get prepared by spending time in the Word. You use that little devotion, read you a verse, a scripture or a chapter, whatever you got time or feel led to do. And then you spend time praying. And the way I read the Bible, I pray first. Then I read, because I pray, I say, Holy Spirit, guide me what I'm about to read. Then when I get through reading, then I spend my time, my prayer time. And I might talk a little bit, but I do a lot of listening. And it's amazing how many of my problems God solved when I just would listen to Him in prayer. Preparation. And the third point is this. Another way that you get prepared is not only through the Word, reading the Word, and prayer, but it's being in God's house. It's doing just what you're doing here tonight, being here. Let me tell you something. When we join the church, whether we realize it or not, we're agreeing to a covenant. And the covenant of this church is that when the doors of this church are open, if we're a member, we promise to be here. And I know some people got to work. Gina has to work sometimes. Chad has to work. Aaron has to work. And so on. Sometimes it's wet and they got to get equipment unbogged and Sean's got to work. I understand that. God does too. But that's when the ox is in the ditch. Sometimes we shove the ox in the ditch. And so, we come to God's house. You say, well, give me a scripture about that. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, Brother Lynn. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. The unbeliever, the lost person, the infidel, they don't come to God's house because they don't want to. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means you say, Tom, I hadn't seen you at church last Sunday or two. We've been missing you. I'm not coming down on you. I just miss you and I don't want you to miss out. You exhort them. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, you really get to invite them and encourage them to be here about Friday and Saturday. Hallelujah. Being in God's house when the doors are open. That means Wednesday, that means Sunday. That means when we have a revival, that means when we have a sing. There'll be some that'll say, well, I don't think I ought to go to church Sunday. Preacher isn't preaching. And people tell me that. Say, preacher, I come, but I just want to hear you preach. Listen, that does not flatter me, okay? It doesn't. I'm past that. Maybe when I was 25, that flattered me. Somebody said, oh, they just want to hear me preach. No, I want you to come to God's house and get a blessing. And if it's your church doing something, you need to support it. You need to support it with your time, with your talents, and your treasure. And you need to give it all you got. Hallelujah. So, private preparation. God prepares us in private to reveal us in public. Amen? Let's all stand. Come on, Lindsay. She's going to sing a song. And if you need prayer for anything tonight, Brother Harry, do you feel up to it now? Just come sit right here. Sit right here. They can come to you right here. Hallelujah. We're going to sing this song, and if you need prayer for anything, If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you're not sure where you're going to be one day when you leave this world, you need to make that decision tonight. You need to make sure. And you can be sure. I just ask you to come down this aisle and let me know, and I'll pray with you. If you'd like to be a part of this church family, doors of the church are open. We receive you in any way authorized by the gospel. Lindsay's going to do this song. I say she's going to do the song. She got too many guitars. Can't decide which one you do. I use the red one or I use the brown one? Hallelujah. While she's getting this ready, don't forget now about Sunday. We need a lot of food. Don't miss Sunday. We get 300 here. I'm getting a mohawk like Ron's got, and Harry's getting a sideways one that's going to run from ear to ear like that. Aren't you, Harry? You still going to do it?
We have $300.
But we're not doing it for $299, are we?
$300,
am I counting? Okay, now. He said, Brother Ronnie Deacon said we have to have 400.